Okay, 190 on top, 375 at the bottom. Okay, now the Rebbe is explaining that the neshama will figure out where we're going to start in a second. Hashem blew the neshama, remember, it comes all the way down. And why is it saying the expression Hashem blew? Because the analogy is when you blow something or somewhere, if there's something blocking it, right, if there's something blocking it, so then it's not going to get to its destination, correct? It's blocking it. So he says, the truth is, nothing at all can block Hashem from the Jews from Hashem. The only thing that does block us is the sins. As the Pasuk says, the sins separate between you and Hashem. Right. Okay? So we're going to start for eighth line from the top. Vatam, what's the reason, right, of that sins separate Hashem and us? V'shem neged rotzen ha'alyin baruch hu, because sins are obviously against the will what Hashem wants. Ha'machayis ha'kul, that gives life to everything. Right, Sash, you have the page?
Uh-uh.
190 on top.
Thank you.
8 lines down, 10 lines down. Okay, Kveshir Kosik, it says, Kol HaShechofetz Hashem also, whatever Hashem wanted, He did. V'Shemayim Mi'oba'oritz in heaven and earth. And He said before, that's the Shem Havai, whatever. And He said, V'zehu Inyan HaKodesh. Now we can understand, now the Rebbe asked the question before, why is it that the Torah says, certain Avedis, eating chametz and yom kippur, a lot of dinim, the punishment is kares, that Hashem kills you. You die younger. See, Sittat Rebbe asks, if people are supposed to die before 50 or 60 for doing averus of kares, why is it that people live ripe, old, beautiful, sweet, wonderful years, and they did averus and they don't die before 50 or 60? Right? So the Altreb explained, and this is all relevant for the concept of tshuva. The neshama is coming from Hashem. The neshama comes from Hashem, is blown into us. Okay, that's not speech like everything else in the world. Hashem actually blew the neshama into us, which is coming from Hashem's essence. But when you blow and there's a blockage, the blowing doesn't go through. So when a person does an aveda of kares, it's such a sin, such a severe sin, it blocks the lifeline of Hashem blowing into us the neshama. It blocks the lifeline. That sin is so severe, it cuts the lifeline. Therefore, a person cannot continue to live for an extended period of time. You'll ask later, why don't they drop dead just on the spot then? Because in the bit left, they have enough to go until 50 or 60.
But that's the people who go after 50, 60.
Like gas in your tank.
You mean people that do courage after 60?
Yeah,
then they'll die relatively soon.
Didn't you just ask the question, what happened to the people?
No, so the question is, so how come people live very long?
Why?
Okay, so the Altrebbe says, first let's understand why they die. Why do they die? Because you cut, the courage means to cut. You cut the lifeline of Hashem blowing into us. And because you cut the lifeline, you die. But the Altrebbe is going to say at the beginning of Perek Vav, that's only when people live from Kedusha. If people live from direct godliness, and then you cut the lifeline, because your lifeline is from Kedusha, therefore if you cut the lifeline, you're going to die.
What does that mean, Kedusha?
Holiness. Directly from Hashem. I'll give you an example. All of us, present company included, with all due respect, the source of our physical life is the animal soul, not the godly soul. We live from the Nefesh HaBamis, not from the Nefesh HaLukis. Tzadikim that kill the Yetzer Hara, Nefesh HaBamis, and they transform it to holiness, their lifeline is from Kedusha. They're living from Kedusha. And in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, a lot of people, most people, live from that lifeline of Kedusha. And because they live from the godly soul, which Hashem blew into us, that was the source of their physical life, was the godly soul, the Nefesh HaLukis. So when they cut that lifeline, they died. because they lost the power of their blowing. But nowadays, we don't live from the Nefesh HaLikis. We anyway live from the Nefesh HaBamis. We anyway don't live from Kedusha. We live from evil. So if you live from evil, you can keep going on for 300 years. You're not living anymore from Kedusha. You didn't cut the lifeline of Kedusha because you're not living from Kedusha.
You're talking about it's
static.
No. That's why nowadays people live right long, happy, healthy years. Even though they did all those sins. Because they don't live from Kedusha that you cut the lifeline and therefore you're going to die. Therefore we said, the Rebbe has a whole sikh. When the Rebbe turned 60, the Rebbe made a whole special for bringing those years that Yud Aleph Nissen wasn't a popular thing. It wasn't like nowadays. I mean, later years where Yud Aleph Nissen was a big thing and the Rebbe always for bringing. In the earlier years, Yud Aleph Nissen was not the celebration like it was in the later years. When the Rebbe turned 60, Fabrengen Yud Aleph Nissen. And the Rebbe spoke to Sicha, the thrust of the Fabrengen, was that Rav Yosef, the Gemara says, the famous Rav Yosef of the Gemara, that when he turned 60, he made a party for the Chachamim, made Yom Tov al-Rabbanim, made a big Fabrengen for the Talmidei Chachamim, and he said, I'm celebrating because I went out of the realm of Kodesh. Now I know I didn't transgress any chorus. Okay? So the Rebbe asked, based on the Geres HaKodesh, the Geres HaTshuva that we're learning here, how did he know he was living with Kedusha? Maybe he was living from evil, and therefore that's why, and Rav Yosef, the Gemara says, was extremely humble. Rav Yosef said, don't say modesty died, I'm here. I'm modest. So, how did Rav Yosef know? So the Rebbe proves from another Gemara that Rav Yosef lived from Kedusha. Okay? The Gemara tells a story at the end of Hades. They were looking for a new Rosh Hashiva in Bavel. Okay? They had two choices. Two top candidates. Rabba and Rav Yosef. They were colleagues. Rabba's advantage was, the Gemara says, he was Eker Harim. He had such a deep mind, he was able to uproot mountains in learning. Wow. Rav Yosef had a tremendous amount of knowledge. In other words, Rav Yosef was called Baki, it was called Bikias or Girsa, like they called in the yeshiva. It's a lot, but superficial. And Rabba knew less, basically quantity and quality. Rav Yosef had more quantity, and Rabba had more quality. And they didn't know who to pick. So, in Bavel, what did they do when they didn't know something? They sent the Shalat to Eretz Yisrael, because that was the place of Torah. So they sent back, they sent the Shalat to Eretz Yisrael. We don't know who should we pick. Sinai, meaning Rav Yosef was Sinai, he just knew like everything given at Har Sinai. And Rabba was Eikorim, so they didn't know which one to pick. So Eretz Yisrael answered, Hakot Tzarech L'Morachita, meaning, take Rav Yosef. Take Rav Yosef because quality is better than quantity. Okay? Nevertheless, Rav Yosef,
Take Rabba.
No, Rabba was quantity. Rabba was quality, Rav Yosef was quantity. They answered quantity is better.
Quantity is better?
Quantity is better. Kamas and quantity is better. I'm sorry, I just was using the wrong words. Quantity is better. They wanted to take Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef declined. He said, I don't want. Okay? So Rabba was a Rosh Hashiva for 22 years. Just so that Rabba died when he was 40. That means he became a Rosh Hashiva at 18. Okay? So the Gemara says that for the 22 years, Rabba was the head of the yeshiva. Rav Yosef didn't need ever to go to a doctor. As a reward for him not taking the job and giving it to Rabba, he was blessed. He never got sick for 22 years. Okay? So the Rebbe proved, the Rogatchev really proves from that Gemara, because there's a din in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to live in a city where there's no doctor. You're not allowed to live in a city where there's no doctor. Why? Because naturally a person gets sick. And if you get sick, you need a doctor. The fact that he didn't get sick for 22 years showed he lived a supernatural type of a life. Which meant he lived from Kedusha. If he lived from Kedusha, so then he knew that when he hit 60, he's out of the Karis range, because he knew he lived from Kedusha, and if he would have sinned the sin of Karis, he would have died, because he realized he lived from Kedusha, and therefore he made a party. And the Rebbe brings down that a lot of tzaddikim throughout generations, out of humility, they would make a party, but they wouldn't talk about Karis and that. They would celebrate the party when they were 60. So the Rebbe, when he turned 60, he spoke this whole sicha, not about himself, but he spoke the whole sikh about Rav Yosef, the way so nowadays that people live not from Kedusha anyway. We don't live like the tzaddikim live from Kedusha. So therefore we live from the animal soul. The animal soul, you're living 60 years, you could live 70 and 80 and 90, it's no problem. But meanwhile, the Alter Rebbe is bringing out what happens when a person sins. This is what he's trying to bring out, what tshuva is. Toshuv hay, returning the hay of Hashem's name that got lost. This hay, as the Alter Rebbe explained before, is the level of God blowing into the neshama. Right? The hay of Hashem's name the second hay of Hashem's name is speaking and blowing. Because hay, he said before, is a concept of speech. So what happens when a person sins? They take this power that is supposed to go into them from Hashem, and they lower it into evil. So what happens when a person does an Aveda? They take Kedusha, they take godliness, and they dump it into evil. So therefore, what's tshuva, toshuvei? You got to get that level of godliness back to where it originated from. But meanwhile, the Alter Rebbe is explaining the whole concept of a neshama, answering this question. He's explaining the whole concept of what tshuva is, what a neshama is, and what happens when you sin. Because a Jew originates in godliness, therefore when they sin, remember we learned it's a rope, right? You pull down the rope, everything on top goes down with you. So that's what happens when a person sins. So now the question, what's with the other Avedas?
If we're not living from Kedusha.
Who cares?
No. Yeah. So what are we? So we're not connected to Kedusha. So we're not.
We are connected to Kedusha.
If we sin, what are we slipping down? We're not connected.
Because in the neshama is still chelik, the nefesh or the kids were slipping down. We don't physically exist from the godly soul, but we still have this godly soul in us, which is our connection with Hashem. And if this is the connection with Hashem, every time we sin, we cut the rope. It is going to explain out. Number one, we drag Hashem down into evil. And secondly, we cut the rope. So by Karis, you cut the whole rope. So you kill the whole lifeline. But if you sin one sin, this is a rope, it is going to explain, composed of 613 thin strands, which make up this thick rope. Every time you do an Aveda, you cut that strand. So not only did you cut that strand, but the whole rope is weaker, because until now it had 613 strands, and now it has only 612. Or 611, or whatever down it is. And he says, that's the union of Kodesh. Shanichas v'nitzik, in the middle of the page. Chevel hamshacha, the rope of the hamshacha, bringing down of godliness. Shanimshcha meheita talk, and now that comes in the second letter of Hashem's name. And like it says in Parshas Emor, when the Torah speaks about those Avedas, the Torah says, V'nichrasa ha-nefesh shehim ulfanai ani Hashem, that soul will be cut off from before me. Hashem says, I am God. Mulfanai daika, from my primus, from my essence. The neshama is getting cut off. So he says, B'shar Avedas. Okay, so what happens if you sin other Avedas? You still need to do tshuva. What did you do wrong? So he said, "B'shad avei shem b'em kodis." All the other sins that don't have kodis, al koponim heim pegmim and nefesh kaneda. They still blemish the soul. You still blemish the soul. You don't cut the lifeline completely, but you still blemish the soul. What does this mean? Pagam is Meloshim Pagimus Hasakin. Pagam is actually means a defect in the knife. You know a Sheikhet's knife? You know it has to be 100% smooth, you take your nail, right? When the Sheikhet makes the knife for the Shita, when they check the knife, if this is the blade, they go with their fingernail up and down to make sure there's no nicks. Or if there's a nick or a blemish, the knife is not kosher to slaughter with, to shecht with. Oi. What?
Do they sharpen the knife?
It's very sharp. It's so
good. It is very sharp.
Sharpen it after?
And they put it through their fingernail?
They go up and down with the fingernail to make sure it's no nicks on it.
But they can fix that knife? Or they
can't? Yeah, that's what... The biggest difficulty of learning shechita is how to make the knife. That's what the guys who learn shechita, there's this stone, sharpening stone,
right.
Okay? And the whole trick of learning, the first part, beside the halachas and everything, the first part of shechita is how, what they call in Yiddish, how to shtel a chalef, how to set up the knife. The chalef is the sheikhet's knife. You have to learn how to sharpen it in a way that there's no nicks and no blemishes and it's smooth and your nail doesn't get cut, by the way. If you cut, God forbid, your hand, if you do a shechita by mistake, you hit your hand, you're going to have a scar for life.
Wait.
That's how sharp it is.
But the nail,
you go up and down. It's not going to do it.
The knife.
What?
You
buy a raw knife and then you have to make it. And you know, when they test the guys for shechita, again, besides the halachas, the rav that tests them for shechita, will take the knife and bang it on the table in a few places and make these nicks. It's a very sensitive knife. And they'll say, okay, go make a new knife, and then the guy has to come back with the freshly sharpened knife for the rav to see if he knows how to make a good knife.
Okay. Yeah. Test.
Anyway, so any aveda, coming back here, any aveda is called pgam. Pagam means a defective knife. There's nicks. Which means, derech moshel is like, for instance, chevel av, a thick rope, shorzer mitaryak chavolim dakim, which is made, composed of, again, a thick rope is made out of many thin strands. So this rope is made out of 613 thin strands that is the lifeline between Hashem and the Jew. So the same way this rope that comes from Hashem, kolo mitayag mitzvahs, is composed of 600, it's no strands, right? It's not a physical rope. It's a spiritual rope that has 613 mitzvahs as the strand of the lifeline between Hashem and us. Uksha'evir chas v'sholem alahachas mehena, and when a person transgresses one of them, Nifsak chevel adak, that thin strand gets ruined. It gets cut. We just said, you're doing aveda, you didn't cut the whole lifeline, but you at least cut one strand that weakens the entire knife now. And he says like this. So now the question is, so then, why doesn't the guy that does an aveda of Kores die right away? So he says, Agam b'chayvi Kores Samisa. Even by a person who's obligated in Kores Samisa, why do they stay alive until 50 or 60? Nishir adayin harashimu. It remains left over a mark from the godly soul, meaning a little bit of life is left in the rope, so to speak. And therefore they're only able to live for 50 or 60 years, but no more. And that's what the Arizal says. Mashikasu b'shem Arizal. That the encompassing level enters the person when they did Kores is not about Chaya Gashmis Aguf, or it speaks Bismana Zelik, he's going to explain later. Okay, that's not relevant. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining, so therefore what happens when the Neshama sins? They actually cut the lifeline between Hashem and the Jew. If it's a big sin of Kores, it cuts the whole lifeline. If it's a regular sin, it still cuts one of the strands. He says, "Now, Amnam Zel Bizman Shah Yisro B'Madregal Yena." This is only speaking that Kores story is when the Jews were living on a very high level. When the Shechina, the Divine Presence, was resting in the Yiddish nation, during the time. So therefore, everybody lived from Kedusha. Because it was godliness. They're on a higher level, right? It's like, the Rebbe brings down, in fact, in Kuntas, in Noshul Tesach Siddhis, you know, we get up in the morning, we say Maidani right away before you even wash your hands. And then we say Alakai Neshama Shinasatabi afterwards. In the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, they didn't say Maidani. Maidani is not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. In the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, they got up in the morning, they said Alakai Neshama Shinasatabi, that whole bracha. With Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamachzin Neshamas Livgarim Mesim, that whole bracha with God's name.
Before
Negavasa, because they're at such a high level, they weren't Tomei even at night. Nowadays, we're Tomei, because we're not that level. So therefore, Maidani, we could say halachically, because there's no mention of Hashem, but Hashem's name, we have to wash our hands first. So at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Jews were on a lofty level. The Shechina was resting amongst the Jewish people. Then, the Oz, Lohayu Mekablam Chayes L'Gufam, then they only lived physically, ayidei nefesh kis levada, only through the godly soul, mebchinas pnimis hashefa, from the internal sustenance, shemashpia ein zav baruchu ayidei shem avaya baruchu. Canal. So then we live from open shem avaya, right? You give up, okay? So you did an aveda, you cut the lifeline, you cut the lifeline, you're gonna die because you can't live anymore from kedusha, you cut the line. Right? But, but afterwards, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, especially nowadays, they went down from their level. And they caused to our sins the concept of the Shechina not revealing itself in the Jewish people. In fact, the Shechina is in exile. The Pasuk says, with your sins, expelled your mother, you sent away your mother, you expelled your mother. Haina, what does it mean? Now, that this second half of Hashem's name, that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash was the holy lifeline to the Jewish people, now because of our actions, that hey, the Shechina is in Golus. That means the divine presence that was the lifeline of the people during the Beis HaMikdash, not only is it not the lifeline of the Jews, but that goes into, it was expelled from God's name, and it went down into evil, and therefore it sustains evil. That's what happens. It was lowered from level to level, lemata mata, all the way down, to the extent that it comes down into Klipas Nega, and even lower, as I'll explain soon. Hamashpia Shefa V'chayis, that gives sustenance through the mazalas, through the constellations, V'chol Tzva Shemayim, and all the hosts of the heaven, V'asarim Shaleim, and the Malachim in charge of them, L'chol Achai Gashmi V'ay L'mazeh, and not only that, Tzemeach, and all that. So he says, once godliness went into exile and is sustaining evil, so godliness, evil, that level of godliness that came into evil, then now there's constellations and the malachim and the malachim, the art, the sayin, the shivim, sardim, the 70 malachim and the constellations that give sustenance to the world. So we're not living from kedusha anyway.
So we and the goyim are getting the same souls?
Yeah, except the goyim get it higher. In Golus, who's more powerful, Jews or goyim? Okay, why? Because they're getting a stronger sustenance from Hashem.
From Hashem or from the Klipa?
And Klipa exists from whom? Yeah, because it's evil, so they're more evil, so they get more than we get. But a Jew, the pintali never goes into Golus, the essence of the Jew, and the good, you know, that whole spiel. We're still a Jew. Alpha Bishachot Yisrael, even these sins, he's still a Jew. He's still that level of Kedusha. But evil sustains itself from a higher level. More, I mean, from a more powerful level.
more powerful than what?
Than the Jews. Because Jews can only sustain themselves from the panemius of Hashem, from the internal levels of Hashem, which needs a vessel. Okay, Jews, in order to be sustained from Hashem, need a vessel. If you sin, you don't have a vessel, you don't get sustenance. Even with the sustenance you get from Hashem, is extremely, extremely limited. You get a very limited level of godliness. But the goyim, that are anyway not panemius, so they don't need kelim, so they can get more and more. That's what the time of Golus. What happens in time of Golus? We are enslaved to the nations of the world. That means they have more power than we do. Where are they getting their power from? From the Jews, who lowered godliness into evil, and therefore they're getting that evil stronger than what if the Jews didn't lower it into evil. It's the problem.
I still don't understand. So, what are we getting? Who are we getting the highest form?
Kedusha that lowers itself into Klipa, and we're living from the Nefesh HaBamis, the animal soul, which is not Kedusha, it's Klipas Naiga. That's what we live from today.
But aren't we the only ones that can affect the world, really?
Yeah.
So, why are
That's he's saying, through your action, he's saying before, the Pasuk says, with your sins, you expelled your mother. Who expelled God?
Also,
not God.
But also our,
not Hashem.
Our
we expelled him.
Our mitzvahs also.
Ayinochanami. When you do mitzvahs, at that moment you're living from Kedusha. Dal Rebbe says earlier and
so
later in Tanya. One second. Dal Rebbe says earlier and later in Tanya. When a hand, that's the example he uses. Yad amachalik tzedakah. A hand that gives tzedakah, which is a mitzvah, at that moment, the hand is living from Kedusha. The mouth that speaks Torah, at that moment, where is it getting its lifeline from? Kedusha. But the problem is, a minute later, the hand hits, and the mouth speaks Lashon Hara, or whatever it is. So therefore, we are not continuously living from Kedusha. When we do a mitzvah, at that particular moment, Alter Rebbe says, Yad HaMachalik Tzedakah, the hand at that time becomes completely a merkava, bottle, and completely nullified to Chesed of Atzilus. Because at that moment, that's where it's getting its lifeline from.
Doesn't it weaken the
Klipa too? Every time you do a mitzvah, it weakens Klipa. Because the more light you bring into the room, the weaker darkness gets. In fact, we learned this many times, and it's late already. When we don't, there's 365 negative commandments, right? You don't eat chazer, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do that, right? You don't be kedusha into the world. Positive actions bring holiness into the world. Negative actions don't bring holiness into the world. So what's the purpose of negative commandments? Don't eat chazer, don't do this, don't eat that, right? So the answer is very simple. When a Jew eats chazer, he strengthens it. Evil becomes strengthened. When you don't feed it, evil, which is not fed, like anything else which is not fed, becomes weaker. So when you don't do evil, evil becomes weaker. But when a person does evil, then they strengthen evil. Right? But you don't bring Kedusha down. Okay,